It's time now to take a look beyond the headlines with Peter Dykstra. Peter's an editor with Environmental Health News. That's EHN.org and DailyClimate.org. On the line now from Atlanta. Hi there, Peter. What's going on? What do you have for us today?
Hi, Steve. We're going to take a look at Australia and the Great Barrier Reef, that natural icon that's also a hugely important economic factor for tourism in Australia. The Australian government already concerned about what they call the poor status of the Great Barrier Reef, have downgraded it to very poor. There are pollution and other factors that are degrading this 1,000-mile-long reef, but the main one is simply climate change.
So if it's been downgraded to very poor, what comes after that? Because, I mean, the ocean's getting warmer.
Yeah, I don't know. What comes after that is maybe the death of the reef, extinction of the reef. Around the world, coral reefs have taken a nosedive just in the past few years. Coral bleaching, pollution from sediment, hits by ship traffic, even sunscreen, the chemicals in sunscreen have been found to be very harmful. But the main culprit is warmer water, because reefs have a very limited range of temperatures in which they can thrive and survive.
I believe at one point the Australian government wanted to cut a ship channel right through the Great Barrier Reef.
They did, and the irony for all that is that they wanted to make a shortcut through the reef in order to ship coal to places like India and China, thereby destroying a part of the reef even quicker in order to get coal out that would help warm the oceans, that would kill the reef potentially off forever.
That's incredible, isn't it? Hey, what else do you have for us today?
Hey, the USA is number one. In the past year, this country has taken the lead in oil production. The U.S. is now the number one oil producer, thanks mostly to fracking. And the U.S. being number one changes two things. It changes, probably not for the better, how this country deals with foreign policy. And it also changes, of course, the climate.
The Saudis are still pretty big producers, as is Russia. So it would seem that those are competitors for the U.S. And yet, I suppose, maybe they're also companeros, that they would like to see the continued use of fossil fuels.
Competitors in business, but compañeros in delaying climate action. The Russians played a big role in that. The Saudis certainly have. And now with the current administration in Washington, the U.S. is now the world's leader in climate denial.
That's not such great news, Peter. Maybe you have some better news for us from the history vaults.
Well, not good news or bad news, but certainly interesting news. September 6th, 1937, two fishermen in the Mississippi River off Alton, Illinois, that's just north of St. Louis, catch a bull shark. It's okay to say bull shark on the radio, isn't it?
As long as it's that kind of bull, yeah.
Well, they're saltwater creatures, but they've also been known to show up far upstream in places like 2,000 miles up the Amazon River. Even farther north in the Mississippi, they've been found off Davenport, Iowa. Bull sharks can live a long time in freshwater. They've even shown up in the Potomac.
That's near Washington, D.C. I thought you weren't going to talk about that kind of bull.
Different kind of bull shark entirely.
Okay. Thanks, Peter. Peter Dykstra is an editor with Environmental Health News. That's EHN.org and DailyClimate.org. We'll talk to you again real soon.
All right, Steve. Thanks a lot. Talk to you soon.
And there's more on these stories at our website, loe.org.